Loving Father in heaven, as we have assembled this second Sunday in this new year, we are just thankful that we can be together in a fellowship, that we have a place to come together, that we have an opportunity to look into thy word. We're thankful for the message and messages that we've already received this morning in the Bible class and the message that Brother Tim had, and now we look forward, Lord, to more thoughts that would come from thee, O God, through thy Spirit, through thy servant, for our learning and edification and thy honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ we pray and ask. Amen. I don't know about you, but as the year started, I was a little bit intrigued that January 1, the first day of the week, the first day of the month, the first day of the year, was happening all at the same time. And being an engineer, of course, I had to kind of go and say, well, when was the last time we had this? Because I don't remember. I mean, somehow it escaped me. And then I looked, and it was 2017. You know, And then I said, well, when is it going to be next time? It's going to be 11 years from now. And I said, that's interesting. And how does this pattern go? And it looks like the way God has designed everything and created everything, the fact that we have 365 days plus, you know, the time that it takes us to spin around the sun, it takes 6 years, 5 years, 6 years, 11 years cycle. And that's how it's going to get repeated. To you, may not be of interest, but to me, it was. I have an engineering mind and all that. But what was most of interest to me as I was considering that is that as God has created us and everything that he has created in a manner that is so not duplicative, that it's not like we have the same year, every year we have the same day, the beginning, on the same day, and the, you know, all these things. God has created that there are almost no two things alike. They said that the snowflake, by design, there are not two of them alike. That our eyes, that our fingerprints, they're all different and unique. That God has created us incredibly beautiful and complex, but yet that we're all different in some small way. And yet all at the same time, all the same. So as I thought about that, I thought about God again giving us a new year, a new beginning. And that he has actually given this on purpose in Genesis 1:14. This is what he created on the fourth day of creation. And I'm sure you young earth lovers are going to like this. Then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. He created sun and the moon and the stars on the fourth day of creation. But yet in the beginning, he created light and says, let light be separate from darkness. That light was not the sun that he created. And that has reason. That's a separate message one day, maybe on just that topic of that he created light in the beginning, but it was not the light that he created to serve us year after year. But he gave us time to remind us that our presence on this earth is limited. And that every day we start, it's a new beginning for us on this earth. And every year we start, it's a reminder that our time is limited and how are we investing into our time. And as I was contemplating that, because this is beginning, usually it's this time of the year when people look at take the inventory of the year gone by and look at ahead and make some New Year resolutions and so on and so forth. But I was just looking at, how should we in focus, where should be our focus as we began this new year? And believe it or not, I found a few verses that I want to share in this brief afternoon message that are found in Deuteronomy, fifth book of Moses, in chapter 11. And for the scribes, for the today's message, let's title this, The Eyes of the Lord. The Eyes of the Lord. And I will read only but a couple of verses, three verses, Deuteronomy 11, starting with verse 10. And then we'll make a little intro and connect all these thoughts together, hopefully. For the land whither thou goest in to possess, it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot, is a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. And the last verse says of the reading that I have for today, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Deuteronomy in English, we got the name of the book of fifth book of Moses that basically stems what is believed from the various translations that have preceded the King James, where in Deuteronomy chapter 17, when they're reminded, when the kings are established and so on and so forth, that they should have a copy of the law. And so the Deuteronomy pretty much stands from that basically that this was the message. This book does not contain a new law, but it was a repeat, because the kings were to make copies of the law and to keep it close to them and be reminded at all times of God's decrees and God's commandments. So we have basically the fifth book. In other translations, it's just called fifth book of Moses. In Hebrew, traditional books would start usually with the first words of the book. And so in Hebrew, the fifth book of Moses is completely different, and it's actually first couple of verses of the first verse of the book Deuteronomy. This is just a little reminder of what the Deuteronomy was for. But what was happening here? The people of Israel have rebelled against God, if you remember, before crossing Jordan into a promised land. 10 out of 12 spies have said, don't go. It is a horrible place. There are giants in the land. We're not going to go. They rebelled, and God says, okay, that's it. This was the 10th time you murmured, you complained, you had a disbelief. Your bodies will stay in a desert, and only Joshua and Caleb, the two of the 12 spies, will cross into Jordan, and only the new generation will come in. And they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness until that generation that expressed grumbling and disbelief against God died out. And now they're ready to cross it again. And this is Moses repeating the commandments that he did to the original generation that didn't listen. And they're about to cross it now, and he's encouraging. This is the words of encouragement. And he's about to repeat the entire law. So it's not a new law. It's the repeat. And realizing that the new generation needs to be reminded of the things that God has done for them. And so the first 11, 12 chapters are really that reminder of history, the faithfulness of God, the disobedience of the previous generation, and encouragement to go and to possess this new beginning. God is a gracious God and gives us opportunities for new beginnings. And with each new year, it is kind of a reminder of a new beginning, if you will. But in a spiritual sense, he has provided for us that through Christ, we are new creation. That in Christ, we are new creation. He has given us a new heart. And that with each new day, we are given an opportunity to live for him, to serve for him, and to really go and possess the blessings that are in Christ, to reach out for those blessings that are in Christ as we live out our days together. And so he's at this crucial point sending them over and reminding them. And in these couple of verses, he's telling them, the land that you're going to go in, the land that you have, the promised land, is not like Egypt. Egypt did not have regular rains. Where they were, there were not regular rains. The way they sustained life in that part of the world, annually, Nile would flood the region, the deltas. It was a very flat area. And it would completely flood that when the rains in wherever the Nile comes from in Africa. They would flood that area. And so over the period of time, they've created an irrigation system where, because it says you had to kind of do it by your foot. You had to do by your strength, by your own ingenuity, by your own strength, you had to possess the necessities of life. Because they would collect the waters, they would save it, and then when they needed, by foot, there were probably wheels on which they were kind of working to open the gates, so the waters would flood the fields and provide herbs, and so on and so forth. But he says, the land that I'm sending you in, the promised land, will receive the waters from heaven. God is the one that will provide. And he says, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, be aware that the eyes of the Lord are upon you. They are there present. They care for you. This is the land that God cares for you. In Christ, God cares for us, and he is watching over us every new day of our lives. And he wants us to understand that efforts and the way we lived in the past, it's not the way he wants us to live in these blessings and promises of new creation in Christ. And he's assuring us, basically, and as he assured Israel, that he is watching over us. The eyes of the Lord are upon us each and every day, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And that's the encouragement he had for Israel, and it's the encouragement that he has even for us today. What I wanted to capture just from these thoughts of the eyes of the Lord is just a reminder that he's telling me, if you read the chapter 10 and 11, that their physical sign of the covenant is not really what was crucial to them, but it was the circumcision of the heart that God really cared for, even in the Old Testament. Just so much so that during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they stopped doing the circumcision. We have records of that. And Joshua, when he was about to cross the Jordan, they all had to get circumcised and so on and so forth. But God is saying, I care about the circumcision of your heart. I want you to serve God and to serve him faithfully. So the key point in all this is that even though we know God is a spirit, God has no physical eyes. He's using terminology in the Word of God. We have a terminology that basically ascribes certain physical characteristics to God that help us understand basically the message that he's trying to convey. God is a spirit. We know that. In John 4:24, you know, Jesus reminds us that those that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. God is a spirit, has no physical shape to himself, but he ascribes certain features, characteristics to himself, so we would better understand the message. So basically that word is anthropomorphism, attributing human physical characteristics to God that we would better understand the message. So his eyes, his care for us with is regularly, day after day. And some of the verses I want to just kind of share with you about where he states that. In 2 Chronicles, there are a few of them, but he speaks to King Asa. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him, committed to him. In Psalm 34, he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are upon, open to their cry. And in Proverbs 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Even Peter repeats some of the Old Testament statements. In 1 Peter 3, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So we have assurance as we begin this new year that the Lord is with us each and every day, from the beginning of the year to the very end, if God would grant us grace and strength that we would live to the end of the year. And with that assurance, perhaps if you are one of those people, somebody asked me last week, or us, Mary and I, if we have any New Year resolutions. I'm not a big fan of them, but every beginning of the year, I do consider some things. For instance, do I start read through the Bible again in a year? It doesn't have to be January 1, but it's usually a good time when you think about these things. So if you were to have some New Year resolutions, may I suggest that they should be aligned in a way that they would honor God, rather than just thinking about where you're going to travel, what you're going to accomplish otherwise, and so on and so forth. So if you're going to have any, consider some of these. Consider praying more, putting more time into prayer. Read the Bible through. I love those apps and the programs that help us keep us disciplined so that we read the Bible. The question was, if I read the Bible through, do I skip some of those verses that are not that exciting? And I said, no, definitely not. The whole idea is God has recorded each and every verse, and they may not be exciting for the moment at the time you read, but at some point in time, it will make sense why God recorded all that. Don't skip any of it. Go through. Study the Word of God more, as we discussed even today in a Bible class, how important it is to understand the truth of God's Word, because that is what helps us to fight off any false teachings and false influences. Consider investing and loving more your family, your earthly family, but also your church family. Be a better employee or worker or servant. Some of us are retired, so service is all that is left to us now. Take better care of yourself physically. Paul writes that physical exercise profited little. He didn't say it doesn't profit at all. It does have a profit. As we eat better and are healthier, physically better, we can serve better. And then finally, spend time sharing the gospel. Evangelize more. Daniel writes in the last chapter of the book of Daniel that we will be shining like stars. Those that are bringing others to Christ will be shining like stars. So as you consider, and as we begin this year, if you're going to have any resolutions, consider some of these that would be spiritual benefit to you personally, to local congregation, and be honored to God. May God add a blessing to his word.